Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host for another hour of legal entertainment. You can find us every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 on 100.3 R&B. That's where we are, and this is Court Radio. You can also find us on the web, www.courtradio.com, where you can pick up podcasts of our earlier shows and other great information. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hey.
How are you, Dino?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a beautiful Sunday, actually.
Foggy.
It's foggy, but it's warm, and I'll take warm and foggy any day.
It's getting warmer.
Yes.
It's going to be 68 Tuesday, I think, I heard. 68.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, December 68. Mm-hmm. We're in for some nasty weather this winter,
oh, yeah,
I'm sure.
It'll be colder very soon.
I'm actually was considering, you know, getting a like a little SUV or something for the snow.
But you decided against it, or you still?
Well, I keep hoping, you know, I'm playing the roulette game with the weather,
right?
Because I really don't have anything that, you know, I could use if it started to get rather nasty for an extended period of time.
Well, you want to run down the list of what?
Nah, that's all right. Okay. We'll pass that up. Folks, if you're listening to David and I, it's Court Radio. You know what to do. You can give us a call here in the studio. We'll answer your questions, 215-263-1003. That's right. You call us, 215-263-1003 here in the studio. And we'll answer one question, but one question only. If you ask that second question, that's right. You're going to get smacked down by Kyle, who just happens to have shown up.
Yeah, late.
Yeah.
Late. Nope. Yeah. Slapped himself.
A self slap. An SS.
Self inflicted.
SIS. All right, David, there's stuff going on.
Yeah. I guess first, Eagles. Does anyone care? Because I don't. But I just heard happen to hear coming. Yeah, exactly. Tonight, Dallas, right? That used to be the biggest news ever. Dallas.
Yeah.
Nice.
The line
Who
out
cares?
Of Vegas is Eagles plus 10.5, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So they're expected to lose by at least 10.5 points.
Spitty doo-da.
Yeah, they're bad.
I predict another catastrophically injured quarterback at some point.
Well, and
Since that line is absolutely useless, the defense line.
Michael Vick will not be back. Speaking of the defense line, there's linemen on the team in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Who yesterday or the day before killed his girlfriend.
Oh, right. That's right.
And then
himself.
And then ran
in front of the coach.
Yeah, ran to the player's locker room and killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
You wonder. What's
I wonder.
That about?
And guess what? Kansas City is going to play today.
Yeah, well.
Well, if you can call what they do playing.
What's more important?
What's
billions
worse?
Of dollars or one person's life?
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrific. Anyway, folks, if you're listening to David now, you can reach us in the studio at 215-263-1003. David?
Yes.
A funny story.
Funny. Funny and sad. We have this.
No, this is funny.
Oh, you're doing your funny?
Okay. A rapper.
Oh, right, that one.
The rapper ordered to pay $1 million. Ryan Leslie. I'm not up on my rappers.
Me neither. I never heard of Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a small-time rapper from Bear, Delaware.
He doesn't even have a good rapper name. Ryan Leslie, what's that? That's his name.
That's probably not his real rapper name.
It's, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Kyle, can you want to weigh in on this? Do you know what Ryan's real rapper name is? Nope. Doesn't care either, he said.
No, never heard of him.
Yeah. But he has a few dollars,
right.
I would assume. He lost his laptop. Somehow, he lost his laptop, and it was found in the weeds by a German named Augustine.
Right.
Yeah, Augustine something. Who
this
knows?
This is back in 2010.
Yeah. And the German dude found it while he was walking his dog. All right. So he walks around. He sees the laptop, and he sees a YouTube video where Ryan Leslie suggests, advertises, contracts, dare I say, to pay $1 million to whomever finds and returns his laptop. Well, good old Augustine finds the laptop, sees the YouTube video, puts two and two together, which equals, in this case, $1 million, and calls the rapper and returns the laptop. Well, our welching rapper decides he's not paying $1 million. What are you, crazy? He says, I'm from Philly. No, I'm from Bear, Delaware. I was just kidding. That was just talk. That was just nonsense. You Germans are crazy. Well, the German hired Dean Weitzman. No, I'm sorry. They hired somebody else, but I would have taken the case. He hires an attorney, and he sues the rapper. And folks, guess what? The German wins.
Manhattan, by the way. Manhattan Federal Court.
Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff happens in the Manhattan Federal Court.
And why did he win?
It was a contract.
There you go.
Offer. I will pay $1 million.
Yep.
Acceptance. Here's your laptop, Mr. Leslie.
Yeah, now he tried to make some argument, didn't he, that the rapper, that there was things missing from the laptop on it and things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, if you're going to make conditions, if you're going to say, I will give you $1 million for my laptop if my laptop contains all of the original information that I lost it with, then that's a different story. Then there's a condition. If the condition's not met, then there's no contract. There's no need to pay. He had no conditions. And so here's the lesson. Ryan Leslie needs to call Dean Weitzman whenever he's about to do something really stupid, like make an offer without conditions on YouTube. All right, Mr. Leslie, I'll charge you a little less than $1 million,
yeah, right,
for exactly. My advice. But folks, you get my advice for free on Court Radio every Sunday morning. Okay, let's talk to Tina from Delaware. Yo, Tina, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Dean. I have a question. It's about employment wrongful termination.
Uh-huh.
My former employer, somehow they read some information I wrote on my computer, and I was retaliated against because of it. And it led to me being terminated. Before being terminated, I contacted the Department of Labor, and I was told basically that discrimination would had to have been on race, gender, sex, etc. But the fact of me being harassed, nothing could be done about it. And he says morally it's not right, but by law nothing could be done.
And I think the advice you were given is probably correct. Discrimination complaint or claim is based on the only seven recognized discriminatory bases that the Supreme Court of the United States recognizes. Some of them are discrimination based on religion, your mm-hmm. sexual orientation, like if you're gay, or your sex, male or female, your age. So if you're not being fired for one of those seven discriminatory reasons, then you really can't, you don't have the basis for bringing a lawsuit.
Well,
now,
the EEOC.
Yes.
That's the EEOC condition, but
there may be other bases.
Wrongful termination.
If you have a contract and they violate your contract in firing you, then you know, if you're a member of a union.
Or, yeah, it was a union, yes.
Okay. And so if you have a contract and there are specified reasons for termination or methods by which they have to terminate you, then they have to adhere to those. If they don't, then you may have a claim independent of those seven bases. But, and you know, you have to go through the union process. You have to exhaust your administrative rights before you can take it to court. And again, they have to have done something wrong based on your contract. Ordinarily, we are at-will employees, and ordinarily, we have no right to a job. Our employers can fire us for any reason, even a bad one. And lastly, and the thing that you bring up that I think is of importance, is that we don't really have all that much in the way of privacy rights when we're an employee. And if we're using our employer's computer?
Yeah, I suspect it was their computer, right?
It was personal. Oh, yeah, it was okay. My personal computer.
Well, that's a little different.
Yeah, I think that is. So that you had your own.
Do you use that for work though?
No, it wasn't for work.
Okay.
Just brought it in just to use like dorm break and just fooling around on it, and somehow I believe they read what I wrote on my computer.
That's a little different.
The only reason that could have been the only reason for them to retaliate against me in the way they did. I was a good employee.
Well,
every day did my job.
Here's the key to your story, and I heard it when you just described that. It's the only way they could have found or had a reason to fire me, and that's what I assume they did.
Right.
And unfortunately, and you may be right, but you have to prove it in a courtroom, and you have to have competent evidence that you bring in, that you establish the facts upon which you base your claim. I think that if you could have proven unequivocally, if you could have proven that they violated your privacy rights by breaking into your computer and then retaliatory firing, maybe a court would have found that they violated your rights and given you some damages. If for no other reason, for the violation of your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, if you got the evidence, give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. That's My Philly Lawyer's main number, 215-227-2727. Thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. All right, so if you're calling with questions, we're here at 215-263-1003. What else, David, is going on in the world?
Well, I don't know whether we're going to start a trend here, but I have a story here, Dumb Criminal of the Week. Well, I'll label it because you got to hear this one. All right. this is back in 08. I don't know why this story just came up, but I saw it. I'm going to give the name, too, since it's public in the news here. This Dominic Pelletier, I think is the name. That's how you pronounce it. This guy interviewed for a job with the FBI. And during the interview, he volunteered, they asked questions, so he volunteered some information, and he told them that he once done research on child pornography as part of a graduate school project. All right, you stop there, you think, okay, he mentioned child pornography, but it was a graduate school project. He told them he was researching it. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So they start questioning him a little more, though, because they want to, that's an interesting topic to the FBI, obviously. And he starts to reveal to them that not only did he do that, but he might have some information left over on his computer, child pornography information. And, okay, you might think that's okay, too. But then he goes further and says, and I actually have some video, too. I might have inadvertently created child pornography once when I filmed myself having sex with an underage girl.
Yeah.
This is during a job interview, okay, with the FBI. So he volunteered all the information, and then he went home thinking he's still, possibly going to get the job. And that's when, upon leaving, he inquired, is this going to slow down the process of you deciding whether to get the job or not? And they promptly issued a warrant, went to his house, got all his computers, and bye-bye, Mr. Pelletier.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely think that's the Dumb Criminal of the Week.
80 months in federal prison
for
child pornography possession.
Well, maybe when he comes out, he'll still have that job waiting for him.
80 months, no possibility of parole, rather.
215-263-1003. Do you have a dumber criminal than David's? Give us a call.
He's my dumb criminal.
If you have a dumber criminal than David's, we want to hear about
Perhaps you're a dumb criminal. You want to call in and tell us your story.
All right. Well, moving on to a more serious topic.
Yes.
A topic that this is kind of our hot button for this week's show. Folks, if you remember, there was the Central Park Five, which was five young men who were arrested and convicted of a brutal rape and beating in Central Park many years ago. It was so vicious that New York was up in arms. I mean, everybody was incensed. This woman was nearly killed, but she was just brutalized. And
Donald Trump, I think, actually went on the air and said they should be
killed. Be put to death without any trial, nothing. Just put them to death right away.
Isn't that so, Donald Trump?
Yeah, isn't that that was a precursor to what was to come with him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nutball.
He is really a nut.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Really, if you had any doubt, you just have to look at the hair. I mean, it's what is that thing up there?
Well, so I heard someone, another celebrity recently say that the hair is actually real and it's on his head. They felt it and pulled it and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if the rapper would pay $1 million to cut off that crap on top of Donald's head. I
might pay it if I had it.
Well, you're getting close to a contract there.
I said I might. Did you cut that out, Kyle?
Yeah. We can cut out might very easily. I will pay $1 million, David Rappaport
said. Get close to Trump and do it.
I don't think he'd take $1 million to cut that crap off his head.
No, but a million, no.
I guess it's like his brand.
Yeah, sort of.
215-263-1003. So anyway, Donald says kill the five kids who were arrested. Arrested.
Yeah, everyone else, mind you, he wasn't the only one who had that mindset. I think the entire country was sort of, you know, inflamed to the point that they thought guilty, guilty. Forget about our system of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, well, we have on the line right now Yousef Salam. Yousef, good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Oh, good morning. Glad to be a part of this.
We're glad to have you, sir. Yousef was one of the five teenagers who was wrongly convicted of the Central Park jogging case in 1989, and you spent some time in jail under a false, really a baseless conviction. Tell us about that. How long were you in, Yousef?
That was really crazy. I was actually in jail for about 7 years, but when you couple that with the amount of time that I spent on parole, that would be 10 years. Wow. And then you couple that with the amount of time that they had me registering for the Megan's Law, that was all the way up until we were actually exonerated for the rape.
How are you exonerated?
Oh, no. What happened was one of my I guess he would be a co-defendant at the time, Corey Wise, who was actually a friend of mine. He was in prison with a guy who everyone knew back in the late 80s, early 90s as the East Side Rapist, or the East Side Slasher. And all of a sudden, this guy gets locked up and, you know, they bump into each other. And at that point in time, Corey was in prison for a little while and, you know, started doing his time, you know, or doing this time that was attributed to him.
Right.
And he bumps into this guy, and the guy is, you know, they basically have words and a fight starts and stuff like that. He knows who Corey is. Corey doesn't really know who he is. Fast forward that to about 13 years after that, this guy, Matias Reyes, who's the East Side Rapist, he had been soul searching. He has like 33 and a third years to life right now. He had been soul searching. And wanted to, he found God, he says.
He found God,
and
I figured,
He bumps into Corey again up in Auburn prison, and he's like, oh, shucks, this guy is still in prison, and I'm the guy who did the crime. Back in 1989, he kind of like chuckled under his breath and said, you know,
wow,
I got away with the perfect crime, even though I got caught for these crimes, but they didn't catch me for that crime. And I'm, you know, one of the things that you have to understand in terms of this whole miscarriage of justice is that had the police continued to search for the real perpetrator of the crime, there would have been some folks who would not have been raped afterwards.
Right.
And certainly there would have been a young Latina woman who was pregnant at the time who would still be alive today. He took her life and killed her unborn child.
And it wasn't just his confession, though. It was they did DNA and found out that he was truly the one who did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Back in 1989, 1990, they had this big headline, big bold headline saying that they have DNA. And all of a sudden, it was like, the DNA doesn't match any of us. And they quickly swept that under the rug.
Hmm.
But when you think about what was going on, this presumption of innocence, it was really, you had to prove that you were innocent if you were a person of color, as opposed to if you were other person.
Right.
So therefore, this led to common citizens like Donald Trump taking out those full-page ads in New York City's major newspapers, as you said, calling for a reinstatement of the death penalty in our case. I mean, people were saying things like, if we would take the oldest one, who was Corey Wise, and take him to the park and publicly hang him, castrate him,
God,
and then publicly flog the others with a horse whip, that would make the city safe again.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. Wow. I mean, you know, I wouldn't call Donald Trump an ordinary citizen. I'd call him an inflamer. He's a lunatic. He's a dude who really, I don't know, he just amazes me each and every day how dumb he can be, but how successful. He's like an idiot savant, you know? Yeah. He does one thing well. He makes cash, like, you know, you wouldn't
he
believe.
He doesn't even do that well, though. He's bankrupt a million different companies. He bankrupts and you know, just buys out his own companies and whatever. But anyway, the one thing...
How old were you, Youssef, when this whole process began?
Wow, I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
15 years old, yeah.
My question, because we've had this issue with other, James Bain was the name that came up, this gentleman with 30 years. My question is this. How do you, you know, from day one, when you become incarcerated because of this, and you see all this stuff going on, how do you, within yourself, deal with the issue that, you know you're innocent? And how do you deal with that, you know, as far as what do you do?
Like, how do you,
how
do you do your time and not go absolutely insane?
Right.
Because you're sitting there knowing, you know, most of the cats in jail are saying they're innocent, but, you know, we all know they're far from it. But you're actually one of those few guys who's in jail and you really, really, really are innocent. How do you do your time and not lose your mind?
That was absolutely, I think, one of the most difficult things to do, you know. But I think what happened was early on, and I'm just talking about my particular experience, because each one of us had very, very different experiences, and some of them were more traumatic than others.
Okay.
I mean, I had gotten jumped and beat up and all kind of stuff, you know. Because when you go to prison for a crime like rape, that's the absolute worst crime that you can go to prison for. The only crime on top of that that's worse is the crime that you were talking about prior child molestation.
Right.
The inmates were there were reports already in the newspapers saying that the prisoners were going to give us prison justice. You see, and they would when we came to prison, we got beat up, we got assaulted. You know, I'm not sure if maybe somebody may have even gotten molested. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know that that didn't happen to me, but at some point in time, after being there for a few months, some of the inmates started saying things like, "These guys aren't criminals. I mean, we know criminals. We're criminals.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Why are these guys here?" You know, even some of the officers started saying that because a lot of things quiet is kept. A lot of things that go on behind the wall happen because the officers let it. You know.
Right.
So I had started being able to do my time instead of letting the time do me, which is really what causes a person to go insane if you let the time do you as opposed to you do the time.
Interesting.
I started doing the time, and I, you know, my mother was a tremendous support for me. She came up to prison often. My sister, my brother, really my whole family, they were really, really out there front and center making sure that whatever I needed was taken care of. And really, the only thing that I could get at that point in time was books and their love, you know. So I started reading books and devouring information. I came across this one officer who asked me a question one day, which really set things off. And what he said was, you know, I'm walking down the hallway, and he says, hey, who are you? And I'm looking at this guy like, has he been living under a rock? You know, like, this guy doesn't know who I am. So, you know, almost like in a not necessarily negative way. I said, well, I'm Youssef Salaam, you know? And he said, no, I know who you are. He said, but who is Youssef Salaam? Why are you here?
Right.
And it was like this completely, you know, philosophical idea of why am I here? Why was I taken from society? And placed in this cocoon, you know, am I going to become a butterfly after this?
Right.
You know,
so you kind of turned it to a positive type thing in a way.
It became a positive. And I started, like I said, I started getting more into poetry and writing my own poetry, and you know, that was an ability for me to release and kind of like escape away from the prison that I was living in. You know, I came across this one piece of poetry that really hit home with me and caused me to forever remember it and almost live by it. And it was by this guy named The Teacher. I'm not sure what his real name is, but it simply said, "Prison life in many ways can be likened to the womb. If the life inside becomes stillborn, the womb becomes the tomb."
Wow.
And I knew I didn't want to die in there. And there were people dying all around us.
Yeah. Right. You know, you have an upcoming court date on December the 17th. There's an upcoming movie, or there's a movie currently that is being actually in circulation currently.
Ken Burns.
And it was done by Ken and Sarah Burns. They did that documentary on baseball.
A lot of different ones. War.
These are really top-notch documentarians. Yeah. And they chose to do your story as well. You're actually in the movie, aren't you, Youssef?
Yes, we are. And let me tell you, this movie, as you say, is masterfully done. This movie right here, oh man, this is such a credit to our case and a credit to us.
Good.
This has really started this tremendous healing process for us. Because, you know, we didn't go through any kind of sessions or services that helped us deal with PST, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome or something
right.
like that. You know, we came home to parole, and we were adults that had this big gap missing in our lives, and people expected us to act as if we knew how to act.
And Youssef, what's coming up on December 17th?
Yes, December 17th is the court date. That's the court date that's going to happen down at 500 Pearl Street in Manhattan. We are asking the people to come out at approximately 2:15. I think the doors are going to be opening at 2:30.
That's the civil lawsuit against the city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the civil lawsuit. We're trying to get this thing. You know, this thing has been moving at a snail's pace.
Youssef, you couldn't possibly be paid enough money. I think Donald Trump should pay you $50 million each.
There you go.
And cut his hair off. Youssef, we have to go to break. We'll come right back, and we hope you stay on the line, and we're going to take some calls when you come back, okay?
Sure.
Folks, we're going to go to break, and right after this, we'll be back with Youssef Salaam.
Your child broke a window, but you taught them to be responsible for their mistakes. They do the right thing. Doing the right thing isn't what insurance companies do best. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. Doing the right thing means more than saying I'm sorry. It means paying for the injuries your mistake has caused by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid, let you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Okay, we're back. After that quick break, we're back. This is Court Radio, and I'm Dean Weitzman. And we're joined today with Youssef Salaam, who was one of the Central Park Five defendants who was convicted, but later his conviction was overturned.
Much later.
Yeah, unfortunately. We're going to bring Youssef back in a moment, but before we do, we have a caller on the line, Ms. Wade. And folks, if you're listening to Court Radio and you'd like to have your question answered or you have a comment about the Central Park Five, please give us a call at 215-263-1003. 215-263-1003. All right, let's talk to Ms. Wade from Southwest Philly. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'd like to thank you very much for taking my call this morning.
Oh, it's our pleasure. What's your question?
Well, in July, I live around the corner from an appliance store, a used appliance store. In July, my husband and I purchased a refrigerator. When we purchased the refrigerator, there were no door handles on the refrigerator. The gentleman in the store said to me, "We take the handles off because there's a lot of traffic back and forth. We don't want to damage them. We have them in the back. We'll bring them around and put them on the refrigerator because we live around the corner from this appliance store." It is now December. They have been promising me repeatedly. I have even asked to go to the store and pick them up. The guy says, no, we need to put them on. As of yesterday morning, they called me at 8:30 and tell me he's going to be here by 5. I haven't heard from him, and I'm really, really, really losing patience with these gentlemen. I just need refrigerator doors. What can I do?
Okay, here's what you can do. There's only one thing we can do as consumers when our rights are violated or when people don't live up to their promises. We can sue them. I mean, what else can we do? We can bring them into the public square and spank them.
I'm not understanding this. Do you have possession of the refrigerator?
Refrigerator, yeah. But no door handle.
But you have no handle.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what you know, the question is, what are your damages? What's the value of door handles? Is the refrigerator no good? Can you not use it? Have you used it since then?
I've been using it since then, so, which is why I've been tolerant and waiting when they keep telling me they're going to bring them.
Right. And so I guess the answer is, I would sue them for the value of the whatever you spent. So if you spent $300 for the refrigerator, even though that's probably overstretching it, but you know what? I think a court would agree with you. Go for the whole thing. So
okay. You
walk down to it's actually no longer 34 South 11th, David. Do you know, why don't you pull up where municipal court is for
I
us?
Will.
You go to the Philadelphia Municipal Court, and for not all that much, $50, say $60, you're going to file a lawsuit against the store where you bought the refrigerator, Joe's Appliance Store, and you're going to sue them for the $300, whatever you paid for the refrigerator, plus $50 for whatever it costs you to actually file that lawsuit.
Right.
And the court will take care of it. They'll serve them. They'll bring the lawsuit down to them. They'll help you fill it out. And one day you'll have a hearing. Now, of course, it's never going to get that far. Here's what's going to happen. Joe's Appliance Store is going to call you when they get their copy of your complaint. They're going to go, "What did you do that for?" And you're going to say, "I told you to get out here 1,000 times, you loser. I'm going to see you in court." And they're going to say, no, we'll bring you the handles right away. And you'll say, "Well, you'll bring me the handles and the $50 I filed that lawsuit for."
Mm-hmm.
And if they won't, then you go to court. And you're going to win. There's no way they're going to be successful in that. I will say this, and I don't think this is going to be the deciding factor, but when you get something like that, I hope that you put down on your sales receipt, "You owe me handles."
Okay.
And if a retailer is going to promise you something in order to complete the deal, you're going to take something, but they owe you something.
Right.
You need to get that in writing. Now,
okay.
In your case, you sound like such an honorable woman that I don't believe anybody's going to say you're a liar. But, you know, folks, if you're listening, just write it down. And even I can fall victim to this. I got a chair, and the chair didn't come with a pillow, but I liked this pillow that was sitting on the chair. So I said to the store owner, "I'll take the chair, but you have to throw in the pillow." And he said, "Okay," reluctantly, but he said, "Okay." Now, I never put that down on the sales receipt. He delivered the chair, and lo and behold, there was no pillow.
Right.
I was so angry. I called them, and they said, "Oh, I don't know what happened to it. It must have gotten lost in transit." And, of course, it wasn't written down, and I should know better, so I didn't pursue it. But, you know, if I had insisted when I bought that chair that he write down
right.
the pillow and it wasn't there, then shame on him. He'd have to get me another pillow. So just write it down to be safe, okay?
All right. Now, what's the address?
I got it.
Go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, currently it's at 1339 1339 Chestnut Street.
Okay.
That's civil administration. I think ultimately it's going to move to the civil justice, the criminal justice center, rather, because
really?
That's where the judges are. Well, that's where the courts are. In other words, 1339 is where you file.
Okay.
But that's not where your case is.
Civil municipal court is going to go to CJC.
Well, it is now. That's where the judges are now, the chambers of the judges. Yeah.
Huh.
So
I'm surprised.
But 1339, I'm going to give you the number, too.
Oh, good.
It is 215-686-2910.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
And thank you so very much.
You're
and you
welcome.
Have a great day.
You as well. Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, David and I can be reached at 215-263-1003. We were talking this morning with Yousef Salaam. Yousef is one of the Central Park jogging rapists convicted, and ultimately he was found not guilty of that crime. He was exonerated. He was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt
yes.
that he was not the Central Park rapist, but had been convicted erroneously and left in jail for how long, Yousef?
7 years.
Seven years. And while there, he really transformed his idea of why he was there, and it became his cocoon to which. What have you done since you got out, Yousef?
Wow, man. I started a family. I wanted to put this whole nightmare behind me. So I wanted to, you know, it's difficult because the hardest part is putting one foot in front of the other, especially when you don't have closure in the case.
Right.
And we had already resigned our lives to the fact that we were going to be forever known as these animals or these rapists or these wolf pack persons.
You know, how? Let me ask you a question. Are you still living in New York?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Are you
it's
friendly?
Funny, I was speaking with one of the guys. I was speaking with Raymond Santana once, and he said, "You know, we've earned the right to be New Yorkers.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody earned it, we've earned the right. And things have changed around so much for us. There's a lot of folks who, when they see this film, they are there's two types of people, I should say. One type of person is the person who they always realized and always knew that we were innocent.
Right.
And they realized that they were railroading us from the jump. And then there's the other person who completely believed it.
Right.
They completely bought it. They really, really thought we were guilty. They were overwhelmed with the masterful way that the news media was writing this story up, and the way that the courtroom artists were drawing us and making us look like these weird creatures, so to speak.
Right, right.
And now when they see us in person and when they see this film, you know, the Burns and also Dave, I mean, Sarah's husband is actually one of the producers as well, David McMahon. What they do is nothing different than what was done back in 1989 and 1990. They are showing you the story all over again, but now they're showing you everything side by side.
Right.
And it's almost as if they're putting a clean glass in front of you and a dirty glass in front of you. And for the first time, those individuals who drunk the dirty glass before are now saying, "What the heck is that dirty stuff? I'm going to drink the clean glass now," you know, and they are so angry, so overwhelmingly angry at themselves. You know, people have asked us, what can they do in addition to coming to court with us? We've told people, look, man, if you can write Mayor Bloomberg, if you can write corporate counsel, if you can write all of these folks on our behalf demanding justice in this case, we're still fighting. We've been fighting them on our lawsuit since 2002, 2003. It's coming up on 10 years
lawsuit. I'll tell
that's
you,
crazy.
One thing that I have to say Philadelphia has gotten right
yeah.
is that in our civil system, time to trial is really a model for the country.
Yeah.
We file a lawsuit and get to trial within about 2 years. And
wow.
that is just unbelievable that there are still jurisdictions like Manhattan where you're floundering. It's not, you know, delayed justice is denied justice, in my
exactly.
opinion.
Exactly.
Yousef, if you had not been exonerated, how long would you have rotted in jail?
Actually, I had already come home from prison. That's the part that's amazing. So I had reached my conditional release date.
Oh, really?
The only person that was still in prison was Corey Wise, because they charged him as an adult at 16, and they gave him adult time, and they gave him 5 to 15 years to do.
Right.
He did almost, I think, 13 years together.
Wow.
You know, what would have happened is we would have had not only the prison, in prison it was trying to kill us. But what would have happened was if we would have made it alive, which we did, then we would have faced social death, which is what we were facing.
Oh yeah, you'd have to move.
So every
you wouldn't be
door, yeah. Whenever we, when you know, the job applications changed.
Oh,
it never
yeah.
said it. No longer said, have you been convicted of a crime within the past 7 years? It now said, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Right,
Youssef, stay on the line for a minute. We got to take some calls, okay?
Sure.
All right, 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Tasha from Germantown. Good morning, Tasha, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call today.
It's my pleasure. What's your question?
Well, I'm having a problem. It's a pretty much a will contest is what I think it is. I've taken care of my grandparents for about 2 years, and I still have my grandmother with me. My grandfather recently passed away October 19th. He did have 3 children. However, prepared by his lawyers, prior to him getting sick, he designated me as his power of attorney. My grandmother designated me as hers. And also, they both had last will and testaments that named me as executrix, and also kind of written out their children, their 3 children that are living.
Uh-huh.
My aunt, which is the oldest daughter, found the will. Once her father got sick, she refused to take care of him, didn't want to do anything for him, said it was all on me. And then now, as soon as he passed, then she wants to take me to court and have accounting pulled and a petition saying that she's an intestate heir, which I don't understand that because there is a last will and testament, of which the attorney got information about this and was willing to go to court with us.
And your question is?
And my question is, what right does she have to ask me to pull any type of accounting of my grandparents' business if they wanted
her
to know?
I will tell you. Okay, first of all, it's America. So, you know, what we do is we sue people, and we do it well. And so that, you know, whenever in doubt, you know, you sue. And here's her standing. Her standing is that if she sets aside the will, if she says the will was created and proves the will was created under duress, or if she proved that the will was created at a time when they were not of sound mind, mm-hmm. then in that case, once the will is set aside, you're no longer the beneficiary or the executrix. They step in, they administer the estate, and they get the cash. And so that's her standing. The court will recognize that, and that's what her burden is. However, it's a very, very high burden. She will have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that that your grandfather was not of sound mind when he wrote that will or was under duress. These are some of the reasons you can set aside a will. Now, Dean Weitzman, my Philly lawyer, I've had one of these cases where I represented 3 children of a decedent. The evil uncle had taken their mom under his wing close to the time of her death when she was no longer of sound mind. She had brain cancer. He brought her to his lawyer. They concocted a will to which she signed, and she disinherited her children. Well, I was able to prove that. That she was not of sound mind. The will was set aside. The evil uncle got nothing, and the 3 kids got all the money. So it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like it's going to happen in your case, but you are still going to have to defend the will by having an attorney represent you in that court process.
Right.
And so hopefully there's enough money to fight about, because it gets very expensive very quickly. If you'd like to discuss that during the week, we'd be happy to review your case with you. You can reach us at 215-227-2727. That's the number for my Philly lawyer. That's
okay.
The number that you'll call to get your first appointment where there will be no charge. We'll just review your case. 215-227-2727. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, we have Yousef Salaam, who was one of the Central Park rapists, who was convicted, who was blasphemed as the Central Park rapist and later exonerated. He didn't do it. He didn't do it at all. It's been proven. DNA evidence has proven that the true rapist, who was a friend of one of them and mocked them silently for many years, finally, I guess he came forward, Yousef, and said, I did it?
Yeah, I just want to clear something up. He actually was not a friend of Corey Wilde.
I met him in prison.
Yeah, none of us even knew him.
Right.
Yeah, none of us knew him. You know, this label that they gave us as rapists and all of that was so unfortunate, because even to this day, there's a lot of folks who, when they hear about the case, they don't know that we were exonerated. But they think that there was some technicality that happened that let us off.
Right, right.
You know, so they always assume falsely that we are the Central Park rapists.
Is this movie coming to Philly?
I believe it is.
Yeah, I
believe it is.
I think that in early December, we're going to get a chance to see this movie in our theaters as well. Is it now playing in New York?
Yes, it is. It's in New York. It's going to be up in Connecticut. We just opened in L.A.
Are you like a little? Are you becoming a little bit of a movie star?
You know, it's funny. Some people would consider that. I've actually kind of been down this road before because I was in another film with the Kunstlers. The Kunstlers had done a film on their dad, William Kunstler, Disturbing the Universe, and he represented me in my appeals. And, of course, I had went around with them to the Sundance and to different video film circuits, and it was amazing the response that I got with that. You know,
What are you doing for a living now? How do you make your life?
Well, right now I try to speak to as many folks as I can. I'm a part-time public speaker. I hope I can be a full-time public speaker. I am also working in healthcare. I work with wireless networks. One of the things that I did when I came home was I got right back into the books and into studies and just wanted to learn more about computers, and that led me to the career that I'm in right now, working with wireless networks and wireless communication devices and allowing people to communicate with each other a lot easier.
I think you deserve to be a little bit of a celebrity for two reasons. One, because of what you went through, and two, more importantly, to publicize this issue and let people know and not let them forget. And for many reasons as well, for your own sake and telling people the real story and to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Dude, you miss your calling. I think you need to go to school, and I can see you as an attorney at My Philly Lawyer. You know?
Yeah, really.
A few people have told me that same thing.
yeah, definitely. I think you need to start down that path. Yousef, stay on the line. We got Sarah from Harlem, New York, who's got a question for you. Good morning, Sarah, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Yousef. I saw you at the Eid at the State Building and Heritage Story, and I also saw the movie in Harlem, which was awesome. And I was the one that asked the question about you being exonerated as for the Megan's Law, is it called?
Yes.
Regarding, you know, being a sex offender, and how would we as a people be able to help that process be pushed forward so that you guys are no longer labeled as sex offenders?
Oh, no, we've been exonerated from absolutely everything. What happens is this. We want people to remember the exoneration, because what they remember is the trial. They remember this awful case that happened. And mm-hmm. It was an awful case, and it was a travesty of justice. But in them remembering that, what happened is that when the truth came out, there was little to no coverage. They still only remember, oh, those are the guys that were, you know, sent to prison for raping the Central Park jogger, as opposed to we're now labeled as the Central Park Five, as opposed to the Central Park rapist, you know. So when people label us as the Central Park Five, it's automatically like, wow, these are the guys. These are the ones who went to jail falsely, went to jail and was in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. These are the modern-day Scottsboro boys.
So Sarah, Yousef is not on Megan's Law's list.
Okay, that's the impression that I got.
Yeah, right. He is not. He's not labeled in any way, shape, or form as a sex offender any longer. Yeah,
the key is getting rid of the perception that, oh,
he's one of those, or they are one of those individuals who were arrested and ultimately convicted, and even though they were exonerated, they must be guilty of something type thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Youssef, in the last 10 years that you have been exonerated, how long has it been since you've been exonerated?
This has been about 10 years.
Okay, so an exoneration, folks, when you're listening, an exoneration means not just that his conviction has been set aside, but that it's been proven that somebody else did the crime, and they proved it through DNA conclusively. There is no question he did not commit this crime. And so, since your exoneration... Oh, by the way, Sarah, thanks for calling into Court Radio from Harlem, and have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right. Since you've been... Since you've been exonerated, have you gotten a call from Donald the Hair Trump to say, "Hey, dude, you, Youssef, I'm really sorry. I
for putting
screwed
that ad
up.
Out. Yeah,
I screwed
not
up.
Not at all. Not at all. Actually, I have a question for you as attorney.
Go ahead.
So we were told that when we were filing our lawsuits, that we would not be able to sue Donald Trump. He's actually one of the persons that's not a part of the lawsuit. Everyone else is. And we were told the reason why was because we would have had to sue for defamation of character back in 1989, to which none of us would have even thought about doing.
Right. Well, unfortunately,
the statute of limitations, the statute of limitations on defamation, you knew that he was saying something which was not true. Right? Right.
Exactly.
So it's at that point when we, the victim of defamation, know that somebody is saying something that is not true, that the clock begins to run. And then you have 2 years in Pennsylvania and in New York as well. You have 2 years civilly to file the lawsuit or to begin the lawsuit for defamation of character. And once that 2 years is up, you're done. You can't say, well, I couldn't prove him to be a liar, but I learned, you know, because you knew he was lying. And so, unfortunately, Donald got a pass on your case. But he didn't get a pass from public humiliation. So at least, the very least that Dean Weitzman can do for Youssef is to say that Donald Trump is a moron. He is a moron with a capital M. His hair is ugly and his heart is black and evil. Donald Trump stinks. There you go.
Donald Trump is fired.
It's actually 1 year statute of limitation in New York. 1 year for defamation.
There you go.
Wow. So, yeah.
Well, I guess if he says anything corrupt now.
I'm coming to New York.
Absolutely.
I'm coming to New York and
filing the lawsuit
myself.
That's right.
Youssef, thanks for joining Court Radio. Best of luck with your upcoming civil trial and with the full screening of your documentary.
Yeah. Everyone go see the movie.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate that.
Yep. All right. Peace.
Yes. One quick thing.
Yes, sir.
If people want to continue to find out what's going on about the film and also about the case, they can look us up on Facebook.
Yes.
We have an official Facebook page. It's called The Central Park 5.
Okay.
And we also have individual Facebook pages. I have a personal one, Youssef Salam. Raymond Santana has one. Kevin Richardson and Corey Wise has one as well. Unfortunately, Antron McCray does not. But we're trying to get everybody into this social media network, and a lot of us have Facebook and also Twitter, that we can kind of get information out to let people know what's happening.
All right. There you go. Follow Youssef Salam and his antics as he beats down New York City. All right, Youssef, be well. Be well, sir. Thank you. Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, you can reach us every Sunday, same time, same place, 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Athena. Athena. Good morning, Athena.
Yes.
Yes. How are you, dear?
Hi. I'm listening to the radio every Sunday morning when I go to work and I leave work.
Okay.
Because I work two full-time jobs and I work every day.
Okay.
And?
My question is, my husband has a DUI 2 years ago. The truth is, my husband, we've been like living together but separated but following the taxes together. That's my mistake.
Okay.
He has a DUI and got into an accident.
Okay. Here's the answer to your question, Athena. Where are you from? Philly originally?
No, I'm from Albania. I came here in the United States 13 years ago.
I thought that accent sounded familiar. You sound like that guy Boris from the movie. What was that movie? David.
Borat.
Borat. There you go.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly.
I thought you.
Albania is between Greece and Italy.
Okay, a lovely accent, dear. A lovely accent.
How do you know the answer to the question? She hasn't even asked the question.
I am. That's how good I am.
Okay.
She wants to know if they're going to drag her through the muck and mire, and whether she's financially obligated for her loser husband's DUI accident. Right, Athena?
Yes, because he doesn't own anything. I own two houses.
No,
of course.
And I work every day, so I don't know what's going to happen to me.
The answer is no.
You're a respectable woman.
And you're safe.
Yeah, absolutely safe. You're as long as you didn't send him to the store to do an errand for you when he went to get drunk and have an accident, did you?
No.
No, right. That's the answer. No.
There you okay. go. Good answer.
I was at work that day.
That's right.
Yeah. And I work for VA, so...
Yeah, you were making money while he was drinking and drunk driving.
Get rid of that loser. All right, well, anyway...
I wish, but he's very sick. I cannot go through somebody in the street. You know, I'm being for 26
you've
years.
You've got a good heart.
Great
heart.
Great
heart. Taking care of him.
Yeah, no.
Good.
You definitely have a better heart than Donald Trump does, that loser.
If I have a big... You know, power, I will hang up him in the sky so everybody can see him.
Yeah.
Well, you're safe. You're safe,
dear. Nothing can happen as long as you keep him, you know, you want to make
name
sure
off
you
of
keep
everything,
him
yeah.
his name off of your properties.
Yeah, he's not in my house's name. He's not in anything.
Then cool. You're good
to go, dear. All right, thanks for listening to Court Radio.
Thank Athena. You so much, guys. Thank you. Have a good day.
You
All
too.
Right. Bye-bye, Borat.
It's horrible. That is horrible. Yeah.
Folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, you can find us every Sunday, same time, same place. And if you need us during the week, you can reach me 215-227-2727 or check us out at www.myphillylawyer.com, the place to be in Philadelphia if you need a lawyer. All right, we're going to hand off the baton to my buddy E. Stephen Collins, who does everything right and taught me everything I know about radio. Yes, he did. If I've ever said a bad word about this man.
And law.
Yeah, and law, right.
Yeah. And lawlessness. Okay, folks, E. Stephen Collins and Philly Speaks coming up right after these important announcements.
Bye-bye.
Your loved one is getting medical care and someone makes a tragic mistake. Now they'll need round-the-clock care or worse, and you're left alone. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, My Philly Lawyer has been holding hospitals and insurance companies accountable for medical mistakes. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Out of squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.